Well, amen and amen. Thank you for singing this evening. Thank you for being here. And Brother Dan was being kind. I know that sometimes folks will lead that, and they'll, when you sing Love Lifted Me, they'll have you stand up. They phrase a little too much exercise for some of you, so we didn't want to do any calf lifts or anything. So praise the Lord. Thank you again for being here. And what a joy it is to be here on a Wednesday night. And I want to just I know I mentioned it often, but you just want to take it in because it's a joy to gather together. And I know that it's so easy to let your day, and then many of you have been at work, and then you're just going to have to come on purpose, or else your day just gets taken up and the evening gets taken up. But I want to say thank you for being here this evening. We're looking at James chapter number 1, and as we continue on in James, we'll look at chapter 1. You got a handout on the way in, probably, if you want to fill in some blanks as we go through for this handout. And if that helps you, then we're certainly glad to provide that for you. But temptation. I'd like to touch on a few things tonight that we get wrong in, actually. I was going to say we get mixed up in. We just get wrong in. Sometimes it'll be because of a song. Sometimes it'll be because of just some old traditional wisdom, so to speak, that somebody gives. It will sometimes just be things that are handed down. And what I'm specifically speaking of is when you and I get ourselves in trouble, we often say, well, God had a plan for that, and He put that in there so that I'd come out stronger on the other side. We've got to stop ourselves many times. God gets blamed for a lot of stuff that He never did. And sometimes we act as if, well, God put that, He wanted me to fall, stumble, or fall in that so that I would come out and I would be bigger, better, and stronger on the other side. Friends, that's just wrong thinking. We're going to look at it in the Scriptures tonight. But you can see how it almost could, you see how you could fall into that thinking, because after you do make a great mistake, a sin, whatever it is, if you'll let God work in your life and let it build you, you do come out better, but God never uses wrong to get you to do something that is right. Amen. So I want to hammer on that a little bit tonight, because I think many of us have been guilty of that. Maybe, as I said, because of some old song, it will say, well, that he led me through this and he led me through that. Well, he may have been leading out of some problems, but he didn't lead you into that sin or that temptation. And we're going to look at it tonight. Let no man say when he is tempted, verse 13 of James 1, I'm tempted of God. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. You can try all you want. The devil tried to tempt Jesus. You can try all you want to tempt the Lord with evil. He can't be tempted. Neither tempteth he any man. He doesn't tempt or to get tempted. But the Bible goes on to say how it does transpire is every man is tempted when he is drawn away of whose lust? His own lust, and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creature. And we want to break all that down tonight and trust it's a blessing. Father, be with us now is our prayer. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would figure out this idea of temptation. And Lord, we get to put some of the pieces together of maybe some things that have been confusing over our years. And we trust that the Word of God will do its work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So sometimes, as I said, we're tempted to blame God when temptations come our way. And here's why. After the temptations come our way, we stumble, we get into problems, and after that, you know, as they say, experience is a great teacher. It's a cruel one sometimes, but it's a good one. Sometimes we'll think, well, boy, I came out so much stronger at the other side of that. God must have been in that. He wasn't, if it's a temptation, if it's a tempting to do evil. In the first few verses of our study that we did a few weeks ago, back up in verse number 2, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That temptations listed there was used would be like a noun. Well, these are some temptations that have come to us. And if you're speaking of the problems that come, the trials that come our way, those things do make us stronger. And God oftentimes allows those trials, puts those trials in our lives so that He'll equip us for the next event. Much like some of you would do if you're going to train for a marathon, you're going to train for some physical exertion, then you're going to work your way up to that. You're going to purposely go through some problems so that you can get up there. So that's as a noun, temptations, those diverse temptations. But here we see it in this verse used as a, you just use it as a verb, as being tempted. Boy, I was really tempted to do something. I was, somebody tempted me to do something, and God never orchestrates those. So God never entices us to sin. You understand here sometimes, though, we like to tempt God. We like to blame God for many different things. Let me just give you a little illustration that helped me when I was studying this thing out. If we take somebody that loves the ocean, and they build their house, build a little condo, build a little getaway over there, really, really close to that, and then bad weather, hurricane season comes in, and the winds blow against that thing and maybe even either hurt it or destroy it, it's going to be hard for us to say, God, why did you do that? God's been blowing that wind up on there for centuries. We're the ones that put the house in there. And I'm not saying that we're unsympathetic. I like to go on vacation too, just like the rest of us. I'm not meaning that. But sometimes we think, well, boy, why did God do that? Well, God had the seasons coming and going. And now we're the ones that came and we built houses all around here. And just like that happened here at the church, just not too long ago when that really cold snap came in, our pipes froze. We're going to blame God and say, God, I don't know why you got it so cold. Well, God was getting it cold when they had only running water they had was that well in the backyard, and that boy would have a bucket and he'd run in. God was freezing things back then too. We're the ones that put our water through little pipes and brought it into our house and put it in some places that it might freeze off. So I'm just saying that many times God gets blamed for things that he doesn't do. And in that same fashion, we also look at the temptations that we all fall into. We say, God, you brought me through that. Yeah, praise the Lord, he did bring you through, but he didn't get you in it. So God never entices us to sin. But you can see in verse number 14, though, we don't need any help sinning because we're pretty quick to, our sinful nature is quick to sin all on its own. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. You remember back in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus was anhungered and he had fasted and the devil came tempting him. So if you be the Son of God, do this. Jesus answered him every time with the Word of God. So if we were a class in here, we would say, did Jesus ever sin? Our answer would be no, because the Bible is very clear that he was sinless. He never sinned one single time. So tempting him, that's what it's called, the temptation, the devil tempting him, laying things out to try to trip somebody up, that's not where the sin comes. That's not where the temptation comes. Well, that's the temptation, but that's not where the sin comes. We see the progression is given in verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it's coming on the heels of verse number 14 because we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Now, how many of you understand when Jesus was looking there, when the devil was trying to look at Christ and say, why don't you do this? You have this bread. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? When those things come to us, we don't always respond like Jesus did, but we do live in the same world that he came to dwell in when he was enrobed in human flesh. And so just like temptation came to him, it's going to come to all of us as well. But that's not the problem. The temptation is going to be there when a young man is looking for something on, or old man for that matter, is looking on something on his computer and some wrong image comes up. That's not where the problem is. The problem is when he clicks on that and then stays on that and lingers on that and goes from there. And if statistics are right, unsaved men and Christian men by the boatloads are trapped in pornography. Well, what happened was Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Did the sin happen when some wicked somebody put all those websites on there? Well, sin on their part, but I'm talking about sin on our part. Was that sin when they put all that stuff out there available to you? Not on your part, no. Was that sin when that ungodly image flashed up on there? That wasn't a sin either. When you click off, get off of as quick as you can and you get it out of there and say, hey, honey, you better come look at some of the stuff on the computer because there's things popping up. That's not sin either. When that sin happens is when we're enticed and then that lust hath conceived, just like babies conceived, when that lust has met that temptation that was put out by the devil, then the Bible says it bringeth forth sin. So there's been a lot of people that beat themselves up, say, oh man, I've been really hammered by the devil today. That's normal. But be strong, Christian brethren and sistren. Be strong and keep fighting those things. And we see that our nature is quick to sin. But then we see in verse number 15, the end of the temptation. After the temptation comes, we'll see the progression is shown. And you see here the picture that's there, this conception. When lust hath conceived, and so it would start off with that temptation was given, then that lust was meeting that temptation, and then there's no stopping that birth of what's going to happen. But by the grace of God, I mean, you can stop the sin anytime you want with His help, but it brings forth that wicked child, I guess, so to speak, it bringeth forth that sin. And so the conclusion of that meeting together of temptation and our own lust is that sin. You remember that Adam and Eve were in the garden. The tempter was there. But it wasn't that tempter that got Adam and Eve cast out of the garden. Because I don't know where Satan was at before he tempted Eve and then, in effect, later tempted Adam. I don't know where he had been hanging out, but he had not just come on the scene. And so the problem, which eventually turned into their death, was that that temptation was met by the lust of Adam and Eve. And when those two things got together, then the Bible is true, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so Adam and Eve set death in motion. And so it's the same with all of us. It's the same scenario, rather, that plays out all for all of us. It still brings forth that death. And it's amazing that it goes on from verse number 15 to verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err on the part of the sin, where it comes from, but then also don't err on the goodness of God. It's almost like a turning point in this little passage of Scripture. God goes from where you're getting our problems at is not what you think it is. Don't say that when you're tempted of God, because that's not right. Those temptations come out from the devil, from the wicked one, and then our flesh, our lusts of our own flesh is what meets together that temptation and causes that sin. But don't you err, my beloved brethren. You can go backwards with that or you can go forward with that. Don't you think that you're going to be the one that stops the progression that God laid forth there in His Bible. I hear it from time to time, and I'm very I pray we ought to all. I hear it from time to time, preachers even, and certainly men that are in church work, that they, I don't even know if I like this term, fall into sin, jump into sin, wade into sin, step into sin, however they get in there. Through immorality, through pornography, through wicked stuff. And I like to think verse number 16, don't you err, my beloved brethren. Don't you think that you're above that. Just as much as it's for verse number 17, it's also for verse 15. Don't err, my beloved brethren, because every good and every perfect gift cometh from above. It's an amazing way that God is contrasting here. He's looking at God and saying, everything that He does is right. Everything that you all do, it's pretty rotten. It's the same scenario it's ever been. And so we see that never think that you'll get by with sin. I always, if I ever get to a chance to just talk with men sometimes, and or ladies, either one, I guess, but you like to remind them, don't think that you're going to be the exception. Sin, be sure, the Bible says, your sins will find you out, whether it's sins of the flesh, whether it's sins of pride, whether it's sins of whatever it is, gossip and all. I mean, you just put them all in there. Don't be foolish enough to think, I can play with fire and it not hurt me. The Bible talks about that as well. Can a man take fire in his bosom and it not be burned? And, of course, the answer is no. But I want to make this turn at verse number 16 to go to verse number 17 and look at the gifts of the Father. Up till now, we've been talking about what you and I do, and let's all agree that it's pretty sad, pretty sorry. But every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, or is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. I see that the loving Father, He blesses us. All of the goodness. I was talking with somebody recently, and we were talking about how we bypass so many blessings. And I don't want you to raise your hand, because it would get all of us, because I don't think I've done this either just now thinking about it. But so don't raise your hand. But how many of you thought to praise the Lord this morning you get up out of bed? How many of you thought this morning to praise the Lord that you breathed His air and that your lungs would work enough to breathe it? How many of us thought enough to praise the Lord for safety? The Bible says that horses are prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. How many of us thought to praise the Lord for safety that got us here? And again, don't raise your hand, and I'm not getting on you. I didn't either. I'm saying how quick we are to forget the many blessings of God. But He says that every good and every perfect gift is from above. We see the Heavenly Father, the loving Father, blesses us. And so we see with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We can see that He's always constant. He never changes. He's just a wonderful study. We could study all night on that verse number 17, but we're going to move to verse number 18, and I want you to see what His desire is. We see every good and every perfect gift cometh from Him. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. What's the word of truth? Of course, His word, the word of God, the word you're looking at, the word of truth. What's begatting? He begetting us is meaning that we have been born again. I want you to look back at verse number 15, just as a compare a little bit. You see the phrase bringeth forth, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That's us. That's what we're able to whip up. Don't all of us get pretty proud sometimes? You think somebody's got a good recipe. Well, I can just whip that right up for you. I can cook that for you. I'm amazed that when I read through the Old Testament, and you'll see these ladies, they'll say, well, we'll just make you a meal. And they would say, go kill a calf. And I'm thinking, what are these, super women? Yeah, just go bring me a calf and just flay the side of it up there. We'll just cut off a hunk of steak. Well, you know, they didn't have pork chops because they're all Jews, so they didn't do that. I think it's amazing. But we're all proud about, well, we can whip up. Well, I can do that for you. Well, you saw in verse number 15 what we can whip up, bringeth forth. That's what you and I are capable of. When lust hath conceived with that temptation that was thrown out there around, that was the difference. Remember, between Jesus, that temptation was thrown around, but there wasn't any lust. And we'll always think about lust as in flesh, but lust is just anything that you're desiring that's incorrect. You know, you can lust after things have nothing to do with fleshly, with physical things. But there wasn't any lust on that inside of the Lord Jesus that temptation didn't have anything to mingle with. So that meant if you and the Lord were standing in the back of the church and somebody came up to tell you a big, juicy, gossipy story, you and I, you know what we do? Only tell me in a prayer request, please. That's all I can take it. But I want to hear it. What'd you say? Now, what was that name again? I need to get it correct so I can give it. We have that in us. Please give me more. All of us do. You don't look so sanctimonious. You have it too. You don't want to act like it. But we all have that in us. But if you're standing back there with the Lord Jesus, then the one that should know, because He could do something about heal whoever was being listed and you can't. He should know, but that lust of that busybody attitude wouldn't be in Him because He is perfect. So when you and I can get together with those temptations, then sin is the result. So back to where I was going, in that little bringeth forth sin, that's what we can whip up. But then you see in verse number 18, of his, that's God's, own will, begat he us. That word begat, so I'm told, has the same root word as that bringeth forth does over in 15. So it's a great contrast. What you can work up and what God does. And I was really blown away by that as I was studying. His desire is to save us. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So I wanted to just bring this study tonight of these few verses to show you the source. Whenever you're tempted with something to do wrong, don't ever wrongfully say, well, the Lord's just, he's trying me. You know how you'd ever play with a little cat? You'll take something and dangle something on the string and let it swat at it. Or maybe you'll take a laser pointer. I've seen people do that with a cat, and they'll put a laser pointer on the floor, and the cat will just chase it all around there. God doesn't do that with us. He doesn't dangle things in front of us. I want to see if they'll swat at it. And then when we do, say, I gotcha. God's not that way. Some of us might be. If we were in his position, we'd see what people were made of that way. But he says that he's not tempted by anything, neither does he tempt us. So remember the source of our temptation. But then remember the end, and I don't mean the end of, wow, it's over. I mean the end result of it all. That end result when it's, there's been lots of times though when you, in here, you've been tempted, and you, by the power of God, you push down those lusts. And you say, no, sir, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to do this, whatever it was. But too many times, if we let that lust get in with that temptation, then we understand the conclusion is sin. But then contrasting with what you and I can work up in our own flesh is bad, then we understand that the gifts of the Father, ultimately, the ultimate gift is him begetting us, saving us. And all that you can bring forth is sin and death. But oh my, what he can bring forth is salvation. So, he gives us good gifts. And he gives us salvation. And tonight I just wanted to clear up in this passage of Scripture. That's just where it brought us to. Sometimes we need, you know what the Bible is? Of course, we know it's the Word of God, but you know what it is? It's a great cleaner-upper. Because I've heard people say, well, you know what it says in the Bible? Like it says in the Bible that cleanliness is next to godliness. Usually moms are the ones that say that. Well, it's not in there. Just let your phrase stand on its own. It doesn't have to be in the Bible. It's still good. That's good. You can just let it be. But what the Bible is a great cleaner-upper. Because we get our thoughts misconstrued, and then when we look at the Word of God, say, oh, I've been blaming God for some things he didn't do. I've been putting that on God's account, but God didn't put that in there. Now, don't forget, we got a live, walking, talking devil. He's got plenty of workforce going on, so there's plenty of temptation going around. But let's not say when I'm tempted of God. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the time to be in your word. I pray that these five verses or so, I pray they've been a blessing as they've gotten into us, dear Lord. And I pray that you would, Lord, remind us where those temptations come from. And I pray that we wouldn't have that that off-kilter view of you, dear Lord, to think that somehow you're trying to trick us into doing these sins or these wickedness. You're not tempting us. Lord, help us to have that right vantage point and viewpoint of it, we pray. Now, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and here's our invitation. I know most of you, I get to meet a person or two just at the back right before the service, so glad each of you are here. But I know most of you, and I know that you, most of us, we would know the Lord as our Savior. But here's my invitation. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not sure about that. You know, I told you there in that passage where all that we can bring forth, all that we can work up, even some religious stuff, all that we can work up is death and sin. But what the Lord wants to do in all of our lives is that begetting bringeth forth salvation. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, when we stand up in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come down here. Me or Brother Dan, somebody will meet you with the Bible and just take you through it, show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. That's why this old church is here. And then if you're here and you're saved, maybe there's something in your heart that God's already pinpointed you need to take care of. You can take care of your seat, that's fine. But many times I'm driven in my spirit, just I've got to get down and pray at an altar. And so if the Lord's leading you to do that, then this altar will be open for you as well. Bless us, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as they play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe there's some need that you have. You have got some struggle, some trouble, some hefty burden, and you just love to come and get it lifted. Maybe you want somebody to come pray with you. Just ask them, would you go down there and pray with me? We'll just have them play through a verse or two. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? If you don't mind, just look this way for a second. Let me just clarify by one last statement. God's got me out of a lot of messes that I got myself into. I just want us to be doctrinally and biblically correct when we don't lay something at God's feet, lay at His charge to say, well, God, you got me in, then you got me out. Most likely you got you in and God got us out. Praise the Lord for that. We're going to watch a missionary video whenever Brother Jack gives me the signal that the live stream is